linger with you for a moment. And I encourage you, just stay where you are to, you've sung it now, would you do it? Open your heart to God. Tell him that you need him to speak to you. Put yourself in that place where you say, I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for his word. I'm hungry for his presence. Holy Spirit, the word says that we should not grieve you. So often we grieve you by not acknowledging you, not understanding what you're doing, when we don't turn to you, the one who walks right with us. Oh Lord, would you forgive us for that? In this moment, we just want to open our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? Would you come and guide our thoughts and our emotions to understand your purposes for our lives? As we turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. Thank you to our team. You look tired. Some of you haven't worshipped this year. It's the first time that you've worshipped this year. So we want to, before we start with the year and we start with different series and things that we believe God is also laying in our heart, I want to just take this Sunday and just sort of break away from the normal. And it's a tradition we started last year, if I'm correct, where I want to just share something I believe God laid on my heart for the year. It's not a prophetic word as such, in the sense that I'm going to share with you what I believe times and timelines and things like that are. But it is a prophetic word in the sense that if you are able to grab a hold of that, it is something that will always be relevant. Last year I shared a word, walk right through it. Those of you who were here and can remember it, I remember it fairly well because I ate it last year, the whole year, and I got to walk through some challenging things. But you know what? I walked through it. And just as Jesus and Paul and some of the other disciples walked through incredibly challenging things, it is a word that I personally could hold on to for the year. And as we encountered things, suddenly we found ourselves on the other side of it, and we realized that God is the one that caused us to walk right through it. So I'm not a prophet. I'm a teacher. I hope I'm an okay teacher. So this will be a teaching. But in the end, I want to trust that God would speak to you something prophetically within your heart as we look at his word. We're going to start with just two fun video clips. Have you ever tried to put square wheels on your car? So if you've never tried it, the Mythbusters tried that for us. And this is what that looks like.
Let's do it.
Alright,
here we go, the moment of truth. Square wheels, smooth ride, all four wheels flat, and 3, 2, 1, go!
They're off to a bumpy start.
Let's do it right now!
But as Jamie accelerates, the ride seems to get smoother.
So if you're wondering, there's a reason why wheels are round. Okay. Except if the Flintstones have got square wheels, I think. I can't remember. I haven't watched them for a while. Here's another one. Just to say that square wheels is not the best option. Okay. So all the people with square wheels, or with round wheels, are laughing at the people with square wheels. Okay, so something that we sometimes hear or even say, it's just the wrong place, or I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. It's just not the thing. We hear it a lot in the rom-com movies. It's the right person, but the wrong time. All these different variations of this theme. And we're going to take a moment just to look at place and to look at time. And how does that work in God's perspective, in His universe? How does He put these things together? So place is a physical place, obviously. You are in Fennebel Park, or you were in Meyerton, or you're in Sasselburg. You're in a physical place. But you're also within a place in a family. You're in River of Life Family Church. That is a place where you are. You are in a place in your employment or in your studies or at home taking care of kids and a family. You are in a place, not a physical place. You're in a positional place. And when we begin to identify these places, we might ask the question, or we might say, but maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe I should not be in Fennebel Park. Maybe there are better places to be. So let's have a look at what God says. So firstly, the prophet Elijah declares that there will be a drought. Everything dries up just as he's predicted. There's no rain. And then we all know that God provides for him. But here's the catch. God provides for him in a very specific place. Can you remember the birds brought him food and there was a little bit of water at that place where he was? So we could argue and we could say that literally provision fell out of the sky. But it only fell out of the sky in a very specific place. Could the birds not have brought him food at his house where he was? God says to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I've commanded them to bring you food. Place is important to God. And Elijah could have argued and said, God, why should I go to this place? This is a nothing place on a map. Why do you want me there? Why can't you just provide for me here where I am? And he could have stayed where he was, and there would have been no provision. The moment that he went where God told him to go, there was provision. And after a while, God said to him, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon, for I have instructed a widow there to feed you. This now gets even worse, because now he has to exit Israel. He's no longer in Israel. He's in a Canaanite area with a widow. Wrong place, wrong time. And yet God chooses to move him to that place. And in that place, there's provision. Sometimes we think, or we feel, or we get involved in conversations around us, and we begin to say we are in the wrong place. Maybe we are in the wrong time. Maybe we should be somewhere else. You see, Elijah had to do two things. He had to respond and he had to be obedient. He had to go. He had to believe God that what he was saying is the right thing for him at that time and in that place. It says in 1 Kings 17:5, so Elijah did as the Lord told him, and he camped beside the Kereth Brook east of the Jordan. And verse 10 it says, and so he went to Zarephath. You see, if we are careful to obey God, then we are in the right place. If we respond to His leading, if we respond to His directing of our lives, the ordering of our footsteps, if we submit to Him, He will cause us to be at the right place at the right time. Psalm 37, 23 to 25. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. So let's just stop there for a moment. Sometimes we focus on the steps. And we look at the steps. And we look at the places where we end up when we take these steps. And we judge based on the steps. What we should judge on, or should judge on, is based on whether I am God's child. See, that godly is someone who has surrendered their life to Christ. And if you sit here this morning, if you're listening to this video later on, I would presume that that is what you've done. You've made a decision. I want to serve Jesus. I want to follow God. I want to allow Him to direct my steps. Stop judging where you are based on what the steps look like. Have faith that God has the ability to direct your steps. Even if He takes you to a no place on a map town, He has the ability to direct. And He has the ability to provide. Then it says, He delights in every detail of our lives. God delights in every detail of our lives. And if we surrender to Him, if we listen to Him, if we obey Him, He will direct us, even if it looks for a season or for a moment, to be a strange place. It says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by His hands. Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. God will direct my steps. And maybe this morning, first thing I want to say to you is stop worrying about where you are. Stop focusing so much on where you are, positionally in the company where you work, or in the physical place where you live. But make sure that your heart is with God. And if your heart is with God, He will direct your steps. And sometimes He will send you to a strange place, to a widow. Sometimes He will send you to go camp somewhere in the middle of nowhere, because that is where He wants to provide for you. So firstly, I want to make this declaration. You are in the right place. You are in the right place. Why are you in the right place? Because you've surrendered your life to Jesus and you've asked Him to lead you and to direct you. And He will continue to do that. And if we continue to be obedient, if He says stay, we stay. If He says move, we move. And you remember the Israelites as they were traveling? There was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And we read this account that whenever the cloud stopped, they stopped. They didn't run on ahead, they stopped. But when the cloud moved, they moved with it. Moses makes this declaration. He says, God, don't send us away from here unless Your presence goes with us. God gives His assurance that, yes, I will be with you. I prayed it earlier. The Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, the one who is called to walk beside us. At any moment in time, in any place where you find yourself, you can be in the presence of God. Why? Because God, through the Holy Spirit, is right with you. He's not far away. And you can be in His presence and you can hear what He is saying, what He is directing you to do. I chatted with a young man end of last year. He was finished his studies and he was looking at work opportunities. And he came to me and he said, we had this conversation, and he said to me, but how do I know that I will make the right decision. He's applied to different places. Now he's waiting for responses. How would I know? And my answer to him was a strange answer. Surely we must pray, yes. Surely we must get people around us to give us good advice. But I said to him, one of the most important things I believe is that you need to wrestle with the decision. Why? Because if you wrestle with the decision, it means that you don't want to follow your ways. You want to look at it and say, God, is this you? God, would you help me? God, would you lead me? And as long as you wrestle with it, I believe that God will direct your steps. See, we get in trouble when we don't wrestle with something. We get in trouble when we get that offer or we get that opportunity or someone tells us about something amazing and we just pack up and go. We just decide by ourselves that this is the way that we should go. So you are in the right place. You are in the right place if you continue to wrestle. If you continue to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And God will answer and he will direct you. Time. Now time is an interesting one. For most of us, time is linear. Time is something I put in a diary. I fill in the blocks in my calendar to manage my time. Or I have a project that needs to run and I set out the timelines for that project. When this thing is done, this will be done and eventually will be done at this time. In Daniel 2:21, we read in the New Living Translation, the NIV translation, most translations say it this way. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. We have this concept that God is in control of time. He is the one who sets times and changes seasons. The New Living Translation says it as follows. He controls the course of world events. Have you heard this phrase? We are living in interesting times. We are living in difficult times. We are living in amazing times, whatever the case might be. We connect it to time. And we tend to judge time and seasons. But we forget that God is ultimately the one who controls time. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in human hearts. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So that's fascinating. God says he's placed a little bit of eternity within our hearts. Eternity is the concept of time. But yet he said that as humans, we don't have the ability to see everything from beginning to end. And we find ourselves stuck somewhere in the middle. And if we begin to judge times and wonder about times and make pronouncements about times, we're probably going to miss it because we can't see everything and we don't understand fully what God is doing and why he's doing it. Why did he change this? Why did he depose this king and bring in this new king? But if we turn our hearts to eternity, if we turn our hearts in the midst of time where we find ourselves, 2026, in the midst of that, if we turn ourselves to the little bit of eternity that God has placed within us, guess what? We'll find ourselves exactly in the right time where he wants us to see and experience what he wants to do through us. Psalm 145. You are the Lord who reigns over your never-ending kingdom through all ages of time. That's God's time. Never-ending, actually being outside of time and being able to see time that we can't see it through all ages of time and eternity. And then he seems to talk about something else. He says, for your faithfulness, or for you are faithful to fulfill every promise that you've made. You manifest yourself as kindness in all that you do. You have captured our attention and the eyes of all who look to you. You give what they hunger for at just the right time. We see time. We see the fulfillment of God's promises. And we see a little bit of a sandwich. We see God's eternal kingdom, His understanding, His perspective of time, and how He wants things to unfold, what the seasons are that we find ourselves in. And at the end He says that at the right time, He will give exactly what we need. And in that time sandwich, it is said, you are faithful to fulfill every promise that you have made. He is faithful to fulfill every promise that He has made. And if I turn my heart away from the seasons I perceive around me and trying to understand what is happening, but I draw back and I step back and I lock myself in a safe place called eternity. That little bit of eternity that God has placed within my heart. Just as I listen to the Holy Spirit to guide me to the right place, I can choose to be in that place at that time where I am with Him. And in that time and in that place, God is faithful to fulfill all of His promises. You see, time is in God's hands. The key is that we need to be in God's time. That's not timing something. That's being with His program and with His agenda. Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. At the right time. At the perfect time. You might look at it and say, God, it was a little bit of a political, difficult season for Jesus to come. Wouldn't it have been easier or better if He had first deposed Caesar, the king at that time, waited for someone else, the nation to be given back to Israel? And God says, no, this is the time. It might look like the wrong time. Romans 5 verse 6, God's time in your life and in my life. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and He died for our sins. You see, it is God that steps in at the right time, the right place. What do I have to do? 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up. You see, our relationship with time should be a patient and a confident waiting on God. And we find ourselves in that place of waiting on Him, on being faithful to Him, submitting to Him, humbling ourselves to Him. He is the one who will elevate at the right time. Galatians 6 verse 9. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You see, we've got to stay faithful. Faithfulness talks about time and our understanding and relating to God and His time. Lamentations 3:25 to 26. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. So it is good to wait quietly, for salvation comes from the Lord. When the oceans roar and the oceans rise and the thunders roar, I will be still. When times look difficult, when it looks like I'm in a difficult place, I can be quiet. I can wait and allow Him to do what He wants to do. So, second declaration I want to make over you, this is the right time. This is the right time. It's the time to be with God, to wait patiently on Him, and to allow Him to unfold or unfold what needs to unfold. You are not out of His time. And just because the fulfillment doesn't come tomorrow doesn't mean that you've missed the time. You are in the right time if you choose, as a Christian should do, to humble yourselves before Him and to submit to Him and just to wait for Him and allow Him to do what He wants to do. So time and place. Acts 17:26. From one man He created all the nations through the whole world, and He decided beforehand when, time, they should rise and fall, and He determined their boundaries, where. God has placed you here and now because He wants you here and now. And if you can make peace with that, you will set yourself up to be in an incredible place. To be led by Him, to be directed to Him, to allow Him to lift you up. Let's take a little bit of a time and place journey for Joseph. Joseph is 17 years old when the story sort of begins. And he gets thrown into the pit. First they want to kill him, but eventually they get sold into slavery. So is David in the right place? Oh, sorry, Joseph in the right place? Yes. Does he fight it? Probably. Does he have questions? Probably. Does he realize what God is doing? Most definitely not. And at the age of 17, guess what? He ends up in Egypt where he's supposed to be. Does it happen in the way that he wants? No. Does he understand what's happening? No. He has to wait 11 years for the next significant moment. In those 11 years, what happens? He is in Potiphar's house. He gets thrown into prison. And by the age of 28, roughly, he interprets the cupbearer's dream. And can you remember what he says to the cupbearer? He says, when you are released from prison tomorrow and you go to be with the king again, will you please remember me? I don't know about you, but if someone comes to me and he says, tomorrow you're going to be released from prison, you're going to be restored to your position, how do you forget that? But for the next 2 years, he does forget. Why? Because Joseph is getting closer to being in the right place at the right time, but he's not there quite yet. And it takes another 2 years for him to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And in that moment, he's no longer just in Egypt, the right place, but he's second in command next to Pharaoh. He's positionally in the right place. Why? Because for the next 7 years, he has to store up. They build barns and they store up all the excess for the 7 years of plenty. Why? So that at the age of 39, he can finally do what he was supposed to do, which was what? Save the nation of Israel. Why? Because God gave a promise to Abram that through your seed all nations would be blessed. And he's supposed to preserve the line of Jesus. And that's what he does at the age of 39. So it takes him 22 years. It takes him 22 years to go from the wrong place to the right place. But you know what I find interesting? He could have arrived at 38 and a half and done the same job. Am I right? He could have arrived at 38 and a half, and Pharaoh could have heard about him, and he could have interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and everything could have played out exactly the same. Here's the thing that blows my mind, is that God knows the famine is coming. God knows that he's going to give this dream. That's the linear timeline of time. But he knows that he has to intersect this with Joseph at a specific time and a specific place. And he knows exactly how long it will take Joseph to be ready to do that. And God has the ability to manage multiple time and place timelines. And he's placed you here now for a reason. So that as things unfold in this year and the next year and maybe the next decade, for however long he chooses to have you here, so that you can be ready for that when that happens. And we have this incredible account of Joseph's life. And we see how things unfold. And how he gets moved to the wrong place to be at the right place. How he says, "Remember me." And then he's forgotten for 2 years. Why? Because the time is not perfect right yet. And in a moment, God does what only God can do. As you journey through this year, you are in the right place and it is the right time. I want to encourage you to sit back, not wait passively, but to rest. Rest in your faith. Rest in trusting God and allow him to unfold things before you. So if I'm in the right place and I'm in the right time, why is the road so bumpy? Why is there so many holes? Why is it so difficult? Why are there so many challenges? Let's go back to our square wheels. Because sometimes square wheels actually work better. Sometimes square wheels work for certain road conditions. Sometimes triangles work for certain conditions. Squares, hexagons, star-shaped, oval. So the issue is not time and the issue is not place. The issue is you. You can make get to that place of where you can rest in God's time and you can rest in God's place. Guess what? His plan is always that it would be you. Sometimes you say, but I just don't fit in. Things don't make sense. You are exactly the right person for this year. God has been building into you. You are exactly the right person. Well-known passage in Esther 4 verse 14. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Okay, so for those who've missed it, queen is position. She's in the wrong place. She's in a foreign country. She's exposed. She's frightened. She's in the wrong place, but yet she's in the right place for a time such as this. So she finds herself, the previous queen, Vashti, didn't obey the king's order. And she was banished. So a new king was picked through this elaborate process. And Esther becomes the new queen. I mean, you might ask, God, why would you want her in that position? Surely it would be better for her to be with her family back in Israel. And God says, no, I have the ability to put people in the right places. But it's not the right time to be a Jew. Because there's a political plot that's brewing. And someone wants to set things in motion to kill all the Jews. It's not the right time. But guess what? Queen Esther, with her square wheels, fit perfectly into that place and into that time. And just maybe, God has placed you, the one who sometimes feels like an outcast, someone who feels I don't quite fit in. Maybe he's placed you exactly where he wanted you for this season so that he can do what he wants to do. You see, God's plan is you here now. You are the right person. You are the right one. You are in the right place. And this is the right time. In John 16, verse 15, if I have the address correct, it says, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you, that you would bear much fruit." God chose you. He positioned you. He placed you. He's working out your timing. He's working out your growth. He's allowing timelines to intersect because he knows exactly what he's doing. So point number three, you are the right person for this season and for this time and for this place. I want to encourage you as you go through this year to talk to God. Talk to him. Wrestle with him about place. Wrestle with him about time. And as you wrestle, get to that place where you surrender to him. And if he says move, that you move. If he says wait, that you wait. As we continue to humble ourselves, he will lift us up in the right time. As we continue to do good, he will bring reward. As we continue to understand that there's an eternal timeline, and at the right moment, God will do what he promised, Psalm 145. And in the midst of that, he is faithful to fulfill all of his promises. I want to encourage you to stand with me and close your eyes as we pray. Father, thank you that as we stand, we can take a place. We can stand in this moment in time, and we can stand in this physical place. Thank you that we can stand in the places where you've positioned us to be for this year. In terms of our work, in terms of our friendships, in terms of relationship around us, you have positioned us. Father, we choose to stand where you have placed us. We choose to trust you that you will direct our steps, that you are interested in the smallest detail of our lives. Lord, as your children, we surrender to your ways. We ask that you would direct us. Father, we thank you that you direct time on our behalf. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot fully understand everything and how things fit together. God, but we choose to wait patiently for you. Lord, just as you positioned Joseph, so we pray that you position us. Lastly, I want to declare over you that you are chosen. That you are perfect for what God has planned. You are positioned in the right place, in the right time. Father, would you allow us to hear your voice? Would you show us what we need to do? I have a sense that God is saying, it's less about what you should do and more about who you should just be. And if this year you can allow yourself just to be you in the places where He's placed you, a bearer of His light, a bringer of His salt, if you can continue to humble yourself and you can continue to do good where He's placed you, He will bring His provision. He will bring His faithfulness. He will cause you to see that He is able to lead you and to guide you. Father, if there's anyone here that says, but I'm not good enough, pray, Father, that you would just come through your Holy Spirit and break that lie. And I declare over you, you are exactly 100% perfectly what God wanted. He made you, He formed you, and He's continuing to shape you and to mold you. And if you just stay faithful, He will cause timelines to intersect. And in a moment, He will lift you up. In a moment, you'll begin to see the picture unfold. Joseph declares to his brothers, you intended this to harm me, but God intended this for good. Father, I pray that as we go through bumpy roads in this year, that you would align our wheels, cause our wheels to fit in perfectly, to ride this year that you've planned for us. Cause us to be shaped right, to navigate this season in this place. Father, we trust you. We simply trust you to be with us. Holy Spirit, to be the Parakletos, the one who stands right beside us. I want to encourage you in the Spirit. Maybe you want to do it physically. Do you want to grab a hold of the Holy Spirit's hand? And you want to say, Holy Spirit, let's walk. I trust you. I trust you. I know you have only good installed for me. Lead me and guide me. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are the right one in the right place at the right time.